Passover begins tomorrow at sundown. Passover is a Jewish festival that lasts for 8 days. As Christians, we do not celebrate Passover, but we do recognize that Jesus' Last Supper was the Passover meal. Jesus, at that time, was in Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate this ancient festival, which commemorates the Israelites fleeing slavery in Egypt, about 1300 B.C. In Hebrew, Passover is known as Pesach, which means, well, to pass over. You will recall from Scripture that the patriarch Joseph was sold by his brothers and taken to Egypt, where he rose to become the chief administrator to the Pharaoh. Eventually, he brought his brothers and family to Egypt to live with him. They flourished there for many generations until, as we read at the beginning of the book of Exodus, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. As an immigrant population, the Israelites in Egypt were forced into hard labor, building cities for the king. By this time, the people had mostly forgotten their relationship with God, but God remembered them, God heard their cries, and God called Moses to help lead them to freedom. The king of Egypt would not allow the Israelites to depart so easily. So God sent plagues upon the Egyptians, concluding with the plague of death. God would send the angel of death to kill the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. The Israelites were instructed to mark their homes with lamb's blood, and the angel would then pass over them. The Israelites fled Egypt that very night. In New Testament times, Passover was a major celebration. It was one of the three pilgrimage festivals when Jews the world over converged on Jerusalem. As we read today, it is almost Passover, and the pilgrims are clogging the roads leading up to Jerusalem. And for some of them, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. For some of them had traveled from distant lands to be in the holy city of Israel. Passover was a time of hope. Just as God had brought deliverance from the Egyptians, maybe, they thought, maybe God will bring deliverance to Israel from the current Roman occupation. The festive spirit of this crowd increases the closer they get to Jerusalem. Packets of singing erupt throughout the crowd. Many sing the words of Psalm 118, as we just did. Psalm 118 is a litany of thanksgiving for pilgrims who are approaching the temple. It begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Let Israel say, "His steadfast love endures forever." And you can imagine that maybe there was a call and response in the group. Maybe over here one group saying, "Let Israel say," and then the other side, "His steadfast love endures forever." As they near to the city, they can shout the words from the psalm, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it." And then there is the verse which Matthew quotes in our reading today. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." These people, they are coming to a festival, a celebration, a party even. It is the gathering of the faithful. And so as this river of people converges outside of Jerusalem, they notice that there is a man in the crowd who is riding a donkey. And at the sign of this man, the crowd erupts and cheers. They recognize him. Okay, they may not have known who he was or didn't even know his name, but they recognize what he represents. Imagine you are at a 4th of July picnic and a man dressed up as George Washington walks through the crowd. You might cheer, you might wave, you might even salute to George Washington. But you know, This man clearly is not President Washington, but you understand the symbolism. You know what he represents. The pilgrims, likewise, the pilgrims going to Jerusalem, they got it. Matthew merges two Old Testament passages into one verse when he explains what is going through the minds of these people. Matthew writes, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the crowd would be familiar with this passage from Isaiah, which reads, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes." And they would also know the passage from Zechariah, which reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The people understand this Old Testament symbolism. The people respond then by becoming part of this moving tableau. They treat this man on the donkey like he is a king returning triumphantly from war. And in adulation, they spread their cloaks on the ground. They cut branches and limbs from the trees and spread them over the road. They make their own red carpet for the celebrity. Around Jesus, the people are all shouting the words again from Psalm 118, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." The people know that this is not a real king. They know it's not a real king who's going to drive the Romans out of their land. He's just a guy in a costume riding on a donkey. But in the spirit of the day, they are more than willing to participate, to pretend, to hope. What a magnificent day it must have been. The crowds, the singing, the joy of a shared faith, the anticipation of the week to come in Jerusalem. This was the purpose of their pilgrimage. But it is also, as we know, only one side to this story. There is another side, the side in which that man on the donkey is not playing a king, but is a king. Jesus and his disciples are themselves heading to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And outside the city at Bethphage, Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village with very specific instructions to secure a donkey. Now, on a side note, there was only one animal involved, not two, as Matthew describes. Jesus did not straddle two animals going down the road into Jerusalem. That would just be silly. The disciples do as they've been instructed. They acquire the animal, and Jesus rides it towards Jerusalem. And this is a very intentional fulfillment of the words of Zechariah. "Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." As he rides towards Jerusalem, accompanied by his disciples, the crowd sees him and they cheer and they lay the cut branches on the ground and they shout, "Hosanna!" To the crowd, this man on the donkey is just play acting, part of the pageantry of this day. But we know that he is the Son of David, the Messiah of God. He is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is King. He comes in the name of the Lord and offers salvation. Salvation not from the Romans, but from something much more substantial. Jesus offers a right relationship with God, a new way of living with God, salvation from sin, and salvation from even death itself. Today is Palm Sunday, and we began our procession of palms, waving and singing Hosanna. It is wonderful. It's exciting. It is a reminder that our Savior is King, a king to be worshiped and adored. But we also know the other side of this story, the story that continues on into the city, the story in which Jesus is betrayed and arrested and tried and beaten and executed. We enter this place in palms in recognition of the week that is before us, and we shall depart in darkness. Although that parade into Jerusalem took place centuries ago, I would argue that it continues today. Not just that we reenact the scene every year, but that we as a church should live Palm Sunday every day. On the one hand, our faith contains a lot of pageantry, doesn't it? We construct beautiful churches and cathedrals, and we fill them with organs and choirs. We hold great festivals and holy days. We're kind of like a parade calling attention to ourselves. And that's not a bad thing. Jesus did the same, as did the prophets before him. On the other hand, we must use this pomp to point the world toward Christ and a way of life in which the old is sacrificed so that all may know a new way, a new life with God. When you leave this place today, through the week, I ask that you reflect on Holy Week, the circumstances in which Jesus put into motion so that he might deliver himself as a sacrifice for the world. There, on the cross, he pays the price for our sins so that we might know new life with God. On the one hand, our story is a parade. On the other hand, it is truly a miracle. And for this, we can give thanks to God. Amen.